Our epistle for this Sunday within the octave of the Ascension is taken from the first epistle, Blessed Peter the Apostle, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but above all things, have constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring, according to the gift that each has received. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as with the words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength of God, that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, 26. To the conclusion, chapter 16, verse 4. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the word of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Be prudent and watchful in prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I once had this soul come to me, distraught, frustrated, spiritually, and he told me that his prayers were not working. And I said, "Well, what do you mean? They're not working. Because I say these novenas and I say these prayers and nothing ever comes about. Well, explain to me how you do this." He goes, "Well, I get these novenas, and if I have an intention, I pray these novenas. I'm faithful to them. 9 days I pray them to this saint or that saint, asking for special blessings and graces, and at the end of it, nothing." Well, I commend you for doing novenas and for putting forth that effort. However, perhaps we need to pause for a moment and take a look at what prayer is. You see, far too many people think that prayer is some type of magical formula. They get a book, perhaps it's an old-looking book. They open it up and they read the prayers, or the words. They say the words out of there, and they think that something amazing is going to happen. Prayer books are not prayers. They're helps for us to properly pray. And so he asked me, "So how can I measure prayer if I'm praying right?" I go, "Well, it's pretty simple, actually. Ask yourself what the last thing God said to you was." He goes, "What do you mean God said to me?" "Well, prayer is a conversation with God, you know? We put too much importance on what we say to God, and we don't give too much attention to what God is trying to say to us." He goes, "Well, I don't hear his voice." I go, "Well, I know there's a certain way to hear his voice. And only the silent man can hear his voice. You need to turn off your radios, your pods and pads and TVs and other electronics. Put away distraction. And you need to do what the Catechism tells us that we should do at prayer, is lift our heart and our mind and our soul to God. It's a spiritual exercise. But it's not something that just happens one day. It's something that we have to make a habit of happening every day. We call upon the name of the Lord and we listen to his words. Circumstances, God's written ordinances, he speaks to us in those circumstances. We have to have the right spirit to hear God's words, spirit of humility. We have to have the right want, a want for the truth, a want for His way. It can't be selfish. When tinged with selfishness, prayer is not prayer. It's a list for Saint Nick. I want this, need this, and we draw up our list. No, our Heavenly Father knows what we have, what needs we have. That's what our Lord tells us. Remember when He's talking to the people, He goes, "Why are you so concerned about what you're going to wear, or what you're going to eat, or where you're going to sleep? Do you not know that your Heavenly Father understands you have those needs? Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. The evils of the day are sufficient thereof." And yes, they are, because the evils of today are sufficient to damn us. Therefore, we have to do the countering of that evil that's there and repel it. And there's only one way to repel darkness, and that's light. And there's only one spiritual light, and that's God. And there's only one way to have that light, to be an instrument of His, a willing instrument of His. Not our way, His way. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done" has to be in the realm of our prayers. Yes, we ask God for the things we need. There's no question about that. I'm not saying that. But far too often people only focus on that part of prayer. Petition is only one of four aspects of prayer. How about that which we owe God? Adoration. He is our God. We are His creatures. We should adore Him with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with all our strength. Adore doesn't mean we get down on our knees and bow. I mean, we have those exterior signs of adoration. But adoring has to deal with the love that we have for God in our heart. We can say, "My God, I believe, I adore, I trust, and I love Thee," and have nothing in our heart. What does it profit us? Christ says, "Now he who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven." How do you know His will? You have to know it from Him. Now, He has different ways that He teaches us. Of course, children have it easy. All they have to do is listen to their parents. Obey their parents in all things except sin. That's God's will for them. We, as Catholics, must listen to the voice of Holy Mother of the Church, her consistent teachings as presented, and not go with wherever the current will lead us. No, truth is absolute. Truth doesn't change, because God does not change. What is it that our Lord says to the multitude as He's talking to them about not worrying about tomorrow? "Seek first the kingdom of God and His justice. Everything else will be added to you besides." First things first. God first, always first. First in my heart, first in my soul. But no one can make God first in a man's heart or first in a man's soul except for the man. God Himself will not. And because God has given us free will, God Himself will not do that, force Himself upon anybody. No, it's up to us. We make the decision. So my dear friends, as we are in this Sunday between the Great Feast of the Ascension and the Great Feast of Pentecost, let us consider the apostles gathering around our Blessed Mother, preparing for that great feast of Pentecost, praying the first novena of Holy of Church. And let us consider our prayers of preparation. Let us consider our daily prayers. And if we find ourselves maybe not making them too consistent, let's change that. The result will be you will find yourself empowered by a power other than yourself. The Spirit of God will work in you and through you. You will be able to fight temptation, fight evil, dispel darkness, because you will be an instrument of Christ. Let us join with Holy Mother of the Church today in her prayer. I was reading the introit and the prayer that she puts on our lips, and the introit comes from the Psalms and kind of gives us that sentiment that we should have. Hear, O Lord, my voice with which I have cried to thee, Alleluia. My heart has said to thee, I have sought thy face. Thy face, O Lord, I will seek. Turn not away thy face from me, Alleluia. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If I am with God, what is there for us to worry about? If God is with me, what am I to be concerned of? If I have communication with God, who, or with Christ, who will be my judge? And we are friends. Do I fear judgment? I don't. I like to end with just highlighting our Lord's prayer that he made the night before he was to die. It's given to us in today's communion prayer when our Lord is speaking to his Heavenly Father, saying, Father, while I was with them, I kept them whom thou gavest me. But now I have come to thee. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. Kind of gives me the reminder that we're in this test called life, and we have to pass it. Yes, there's evil all around us. It's not an excuse to be a victim. The test is avoiding evil and doing good. Like Scripture says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But the source of all good is God. So let us pray to him to abide in us and to allow us to abide one with him. Holy Mother of the Church gives us in the preparatory days of Pentecost and after Pentecost those beautiful prayers where we call upon the Spirit of God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, to come, fill the hearts of the faithful, enkindle in them the fire of that divine love. Let this be our prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.